Moving on outside Washington local politics, tomorrow is Election Day in much of the country. No Senate or congressional races, but several races being watched because of possible national implications. We have a roundup. We'll start with NPR's Mike Pesca on the New Jersey governor's race.
The governor's race in New Jersey, judging from the ads, has turned nasty, brutish, and short. 30-second doses of vitriol sandwiched incongruously between local news and Jeopardy. In most polls, Democrat John Corzine has a modest lead over Republican Doug Forrester. Corzine currently represents New Jersey as the state's senior senator. But what does he really represent?
John Corzine. More taxes, more corruption, more of the same.
Aha! And who then is Doug Forrester?
Doug Forrester. He's George Bush's choice for governor.
The big issue is taxes, which leads to the logical question.
Why won't liberal John Corzine tell the truth about his record on taxes? 133 votes for higher taxes.
133. That's a lot. I wonder where that figure comes from, and so does John Corzine.
Ever wonder where Doug Forrester gets his phony tax numbers to smear John Corzine?
By the way, the 133 votes to raise taxes counts procedural votes Corzine cast for a bill which would have lowered taxes, just not lowered them as much as the Republican-sponsored bill, which you may know as the Bush tax cuts. Yes, the president's name keeps coming up here in New Jersey.
In the final days of the campaign, Doug Forrester has brought the Bush-Rove smear tactics to our state.
That ad was in response to a Forrester commercial, no narration, just a quote from Corzine's former wife. Turns out she's critical of her ex-husband. But Doug Forrester's wife stands by him, and she makes that clear in a series of ads of her own. The state's Republican Party chair, in talking about those ads, describes Mrs. Forrester as, quote, a real person who was speaking from her soul about her soulmate's soul. Ah, the glory of the democratic process. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
This is Bill Cohen in Ohio, where voters will decide the fate of four election reform issues. One is more than 5,000 words long, and to many non-insiders, indecipherable. But it's drawing national interest because its impact could be a bombshell. Here in Ohio, like everywhere else, there's a big rule in power politics. Whichever party draws the lines for legislative and congressional districts wins the most seats. Republicans now rule all of state government in Ohio and the line drawing. But critics are blasting the old system.
This is the equivalent of having the politicians choosing the voters rather than the other way around.
Political scientist Richard Gunther is helping lead the drive for a new system that encourages more close races and more of a balance between Republican and Democratic seats. Common Cause backs the plan. So do groups that lean left, unions, gay rights advocates, Planned Parenthood, and environmentalists. Most Ohioans don't understand the current system, let alone the plan to change it, and they're being buffeted by TV ads from both sides. The Vote Yes ads say, pass this plan and the three others, and we'll put a damper on one-party rule, big money, and corruption. But other TV ads, paid for by corporations and Republicans on the Vote No side, play up the reform proposal's complexity.
Have you actually read the costly election amendments? They're 19 pages long and filled with unfair loopholes.
National Republicans and Democrats are watching Ohio. They figure if this plan passes, it could spread across the country. For NPR News, I'm Bill Cohen in Columbus.
This is Marisa Helms in St. Paul, Minnesota. The mayoral contest here has become a referendum on President Bush. St. Paul is a longtime Democratic stronghold. Democrat John Kerry won the city with 73% of the vote in last year's presidential election. In that same race, the Democratic mayor, Randy Kelly, endorsed and campaigned for Republican George W. Bush for president. That endorsement has dogged the mayor in his run for re-election. Nationally prominent Democrats like Bush's 2004 challenger John Kerry have come to town to stump for the mayor's rival, Chris Coleman, also a Democrat. For his part, Mayor Randy Kelly brought in former New York Mayor Ed Koch, a Democrat who also endorsed Bush last year. Mayor Kelly came in a distant second in the primary. Still, he's stayed in the race. He insists he is a lifelong Democrat and has been defending his endorsement at every turn of the campaign trail.
As the last few months have borne out, I certainly didn't do it for political reasons. I said that in a dangerous world during a time of war, I believed in continuity of leadership. Now, lots of people in St. Paul disagree with me, and I respect that. But voting against me won't bring the troops home, lower the price of a gallon of gasoline, or stick it to George Bush.
Voters don't seem to be hearing Kelly's plea. In a recent poll, Kelly is trailing his Democratic challenger, Chris Coleman, by 35 points. Poll respondents cited Kelly's Bush endorsement as the main reason they'll vote for Kelly's challenger. For NPR News, this is Marisa Helms in St. Paul.
I'm Martin Costi in Seattle. November is ballot initiative season in the Pacific Northwest. Like most Westerners, Washingtonians prize their power to contradict their elected officials, and this year is no exception. The highest-profile initiative on the ballot would roll back a gas tax increase passed by the legislature just last spring. The politicians say they need the money to replace an earthquake-weakened elevated highway that runs right through downtown Seattle, something they'd like to get done before the big one hits. Seattle voters will also decide the fate of their dream of a citywide monorail system. The project started out in the 1990s as, what else, a ballot initiative, and voters fell in love with the promise of a futuristic train system elevating commuters over the sea of gridlocked Subarus. But that love has now turned sour.
Right, save yourself now. To buy a college education for what you're going to spend on that monorail.
Seattleites are now protesting the monorail authority after it revealed the project could cost $11 billion. The authority is offering a smaller, slightly cheaper version of the monorail on tomorrow's ballot, but voters now seem inclined to nix the plan for good. Health matters are also on the ballot. One initiative would ban smoking from all bars, casinos, restaurants, even smoke shops. Seattleite Eric Jung says it seems heavy-handed, but he'll probably vote yes.
All I know is I'll be less tempted to smoke myself.
In a bar.
That's like the only place I really smoke anymore. So
the initiative would even ban smokers from the sidewalks outside public buildings. Opponents say the proposed 25-foot perimeter would effectively force smokers out into the middle of the street. Finally, the people of Bellingham, close to the Canadian border, will vote on whether to fluoridate the city's water. Opponents cite controversial studies suggesting a link between fluoridation and health problems. Proponents say the fluoridation would prevent tooth decay on a massive scale. The debate has turned nasty. A dentist who leads the pro-fluoridation campaign got a dead rat in his mailbox. Martin Costi, NPR News, Seattle.
Okay, no dead rats, but lots of more details about key candidates and issues nationwide. You can find that at our website, nprdog.org. It's information from our political guru, Ken Rudin, and Ken will be here on the show with us tomorrow.